I want to talk to you about Joshua. I've felt many times through the years very inspired by Joshua and by the way in which he was commissioned and called and encouraged by God in spite of the warning that he was going to face many, many difficulties. I want to encourage us all this morning, whatever our calling, that we're going to move into it, move forward into it, or on with it, if we already know what our calling is, with courage, just as Joshua did. Oh. Okay, so a bit of background. It's really interesting for me, again, reading Joshua and looking at how he grew up. So he was born in Egypt as a slave, and he grew up through the Exodus, so was used to traveling around, being organized in packing up and moving on, and in trusting God. It was interesting that his father was Nun, one of Moses' advisors. And it makes me wonder what the boy Joshua heard. What was the talk around the meal table? What was he used to hearing? Was he hearing something of the challenges of Moses that he faced as a leader? Perhaps even his struggles of faith? Joshua will have seen the reverential preparation and building of the ark and the temple. He would have seen the cloud and the fire in the cloud at night, evidence of the Lord God leading them through the wilderness. God's faithful provision was there for him to see in his life. In Numbers 13:1, Joshua is one of the 12 spies Moses sent out to explore Canaan, the promised land. One man from each tribe, just one man. In Ephraim, there was 40,500 men aged over 20, and Joshua was the one chosen out of all of them to represent them and go and spy out the land. Says something about his character, I think. In Numbers 14:5, Joshua also exhibited a form of leadership because he was the one of the two, Caleb and himself, who spoke up when the people were disgruntled again. They were moaning again to Aaron and Moses, saying it was better to go back to Egypt if they were going to have to suffer all of these hardships. So at a very young time, he was already showing himself as a leader. He was appointed an anointed successor to Moses by God. You can read those verses for yourself. He was commissioned directly by God in Deuteronomy 31:14, commanded, directed, and assured. The people expected him as leader to be strong and courageous. In Joshua 16:18, he was told at least three times to be bold, be strong, be courageous. I think that would have raised my anxiety levels a bit about what was to come. And the rebellion and tough time was foretold. I wonder whether his faith began to waver a little bit at that point and wonder in himself whether he was really up to the job. After all, he was following Moses, who'd been doing it a long time and was clearly a leader to be respected. But Joshua was filled with wisdom in Deuteronomy 34:9, and so the Israelites did listen to him, and they did what the Lord had commanded Moses. So Joshua had the mission and vision. He was the formal leader. He had delegated authority and support. But he was, again, told many times, be bold, be strong, and be very courageous. I wonder how many of us as leaders here have looked at those words and taken them on board for ourselves. You know, this talk did get me thinking a lot about leaders and leadership, the formal and informal leaders. So formal leaders are those who are appointed, their structure, authority, and power invested in them formally. And then there are those informal leaders who are influential through their relationship, through their actions, words. They inspire other people to act with them, but they're not necessarily given the mandate to do that in a formal way. I was thinking too about the qualities of leaders. There are many models in management and leadership development programs, but most of them would list these as their top qualities needed in any leader, whether they're formal or informal. First of all, they have to have vision. They have to know what they're aiming for. And they have to be great communicators to be able to communicate that vision in a way which inspires others to follow them. A great quality is self-awareness, knowing their strengths, but also knowing their weaknesses, where they need help, where they might fall down, where they maybe need other people around them to supplement the areas that they're not so strong in. They have to have a great set of values. They need integrity. You know, one of the things that people look for in a leader is that they're fair, that they treat people equally. They need to be influential. This partly through communication, partly through their relationships, being able to empathize with people. And they must be persevering, persistent, can't give up at the first hurdle. Look at the battles that Joshua faced. If he'd looked at them sometimes, he'd jolly well have given up and walked the other way. So they have to be problem solvers. They have to be able to think laterally. So if that doesn't work to get us to the vision, what does? And they need to be able to delegate. Don't do it all themselves. You cause huge frustration to other people as a leader if we don't delegate. So think about those who may have inspired you. Who are your role models? Who are people either in church life or in secular life that have inspired you, that have thought, I really like that quality in them. I really want to follow them. I love the way they do that. So I've taken a couple of examples from the secular world. Steve Jobs, charismatic innovator with huge vision. You know, there he is introducing his master plan, master stroke of the iPhone, something that many of us might have aspired to through the years of bleeps and huge cell phones. But there he is. He's done it. He's made it. So he was a charismatic innovator. He certainly had vision. Watching the film and knowing something about his character, I'm not sure how many boxes he would tick on the list of desirable qualities. The other night, Alan and I watched the film Harriet, about Harriet Tubman. She was born a slave in the American South in around 1822. She was certainly a woman of faith. She had a very close relationship with the Lord. She escaped to freedom, but then she went back 13 times to lead around 70 other slaves to freedom. They nicknamed her Moses. She was a spy for the Union during the American Civil War, and she was also the first woman to lead an assault in combat. I love this quote from her. Every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars, to change the world. And not necessarily all in one go. Okay, so when I was preparing this talk, I was aware that in Joshua's time and in his story, we don't have examples of women in leadership. And I'm aware that I'm likely to be treading on icy ground here. I don't want to slip up. But while I was praying and seeking God to inspire me for this talk, I've been awake quite a lot at night thinking about the role models and leaders for women in ISCA. How are they developing? How are we influencing? How are they leading? How are women involved in our church? Last month, I was really encouraged when Mark Mumford clarified at the beginning of the Bridgewater weekend, Synergy and ISCA's stance on women in leadership roles, that they're equal with men to exercise their God-given gifts and callings. What a relief when we understand that, for many of us have hit the glass ceiling throughout our secular and church lives. Many times I've met and talked with women who have struggled to change and subdue their personalities and ignore the God-given gifts and abilities because of teachings and doctrines on the woman's role. Just one example, forgive me here, men. Imagine how it feels to be referred to as a leader's wife when actually it's you who's really the leader, not your husband. In January, we had a prayer week in Iska, and I recalled a prophecy from Laura which included these words. There are spores of Iska Church lying dormant with potential to bring to life that which needs to be activated. So there's potential unactivated in our church. Think of what that means in terms of being able to fulfill what God is calling Iska into. Ladies and men, girls and boys, is this you? Are you dormant? Are you a dormant spore? Are you possibly being held back by past beliefs, by hurts, past experiences? Do you lack courage? Do you lack self-belief? Do you have confidence in yourself? When you have a vision and mission, even if it's informal, if that is an unendorsed one, I encourage you to press on, persevere. Now, Joshua was commissioned by God and Moses. He was given permission to be the man he had been gifted and called to be. And so do we all have that permission. You know, when God calls us, he also equips us. And for many people, they think, oh, you know, they haven't got the confidence, that they've been developed enough, that they know enough, that they've done enough. Let me give you some hints. When Alan and I were still pre-China days, we felt called to work in a drug rehab project. And so we asked people to come and pray with us. And I'm smiling because I remember how misguided we were at the time. We had a passion for something, but it clearly wasn't for us. And it was clear from the words and the prayers from the group that were around us that it really wasn't for us. It wasn't God's calling. When we felt the call to go to China, we also had a prayer group who met with us regularly to pray and advise. Even so, once we were there, it was lonely work. And just like Joshua, we had to fight through the daily battles. Fortunately, not with the bloody slaughter described in Joshua's battles. We had to put on our armour and trust that our mad vision was indeed of God and press, dare I say, fight through. Many times I doubted our sanity. I doubted our ability. I doubted whether we'd heard God really. Were we being obedient to his calling or just doing our own thing? Those words to Joshua, be bold, strong, and very courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, assured me so many times. I took them as promises for me. And also my big helper and advisor, Alan. God prepared Joshua and he prepared me through my life. I was the eldest of six children, an early leader, very bossy. However, I never believed I was really anything other than that thing called an imposter. Never felt adequate, even when promoted to positions of senior leadership in the NHS, and even when leading our work in China. But God prepared me through experience and formal learning. He kept pushing me on. He wouldn't let me off. The dream for China never went away. And the dream to be the person that I am never goes away. Even now, though, I struggle to believe that I'm worthy to talk to you all in this way. But I have to trust that I'm being obedient in what God wants and has called me to do. So I ask you all this morning, men, women, boys and girls, thinking of that prophecy and thinking of yourselves, are you held back? Are you that dormant spore? Are you held back by past beliefs, hurts, experience? Do you lack courage? Do you lack self-belief? Do you lack confidence? We're going to break bread and wine and have a time of prayer. And I want us to think about the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let's go for that freedom this morning. Let's lay our anxieties, our past, and look forward to the future in that boldness of spirit, just as Joshua did. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. Do you receive that this morning? That's about as punchy as it gets, isn't it? Thank you, Lynn, for sharing that. We appreciate, don't we, the challenge, the encouragement, the biblical example of Joshua, but also the challenge that Lynn's laying before us there, dormant spores. That wasn't the only kind of picture that we had during that prayer time as well. There were others along the same theme about realizing the invisible, seeing hidden connections, revealing hidden talents or gifts.